We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly, John Wachumski, coming to you from Northfield, Minnesota.
And this is Pastor Mac Youngblood Clark coming to you from Ascension Lutheran Church, where I serve as pastor here in beautiful South St. Louis.
And you're listening to Wrestling with the Basics. And of course, we are part of the greater ministry of KFUO Radio in St. Louis, Missouri, or anywhere in the world now, thanks to the internet. And KFUO is celebrating the 100th anniversary of their ministry. And Andy was telling me that we are the longest continuous Christian radio station in the country, okay? Not necessarily the oldest, but in terms of still functioning, we are the oldest. And so Gary Duncan, who is the general manager of the station, has been looking for historical things. And he ran across, and you're going to love this, he ran across a picture of someone on KFU interviewing the Three Stooges.
I love it.
And so Matt and I were kind of thinking, we're continuing that tradition. There's only two of us, I know, but there are two Stooges still going on 100 years later here.
We are part of the heritage of CPH. Of KFUO, CPH, that's what my wife said. All these Lutheran acronyms.
We're going to get litters of CPH. There are no Stooges here in CPH. No,
of course not, of course. But KFUO, yes. Yes, part of the heritage of KFUO. We fit right in, John.
Now, I know you didn't want me to pick this up, but I'm going to anyway because I feel inspired to. You shared with us this wonderful, wonderful story about Joshua, but it had a twist that I had never experienced before. Could you just really briefly review, people, what was the big twist in the story of Joshua?
Yeah. So, famous account, at least one line is in particular about Joshua gathering the Israelites before the Lord, before entering the promised land. Joshua recounts God's faithfulness to them. And then he says, choose this day who you're going to serve, right? And he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So a beautiful confession of faith. That's what we know best. But immediately following that, John, is I think what you thought was so interesting, the people of Israel say, yep, we're on board, right? We will serve the Lord. And then Joshua, the next thing he says is, you can't serve the Lord. Yes, again, you can't serve the Lord. It's not perfectly right. And Joshua reminds the people of that as well.
And see, then it makes the whole thing that you shared earlier and that was shared earlier about all the things God had done for them. And you realize, yeah, he'd done all of these things just because that's the kind of God he is. Not that they deserved any of that. In fact, it emphasizes your fathers were worshiping other gods. What a beautiful reminder of the faithfulness of God. And of course, as you point out, to not to say that, we don't need to worry about it. Of course you should serve the Lord. Who would want to serve any other God except the God that is willing to do all these blessings for us?
Exactly.
And grace and mercy. And I bring that up because, again, since you felt free to leave the Gospel of Mark, see, this is how a slippery slope. One pastor all of a sudden isn't doing the Gospel of Mark, and then other pastors say, "Well, I guess I don't need to do the Gospel of Mark either." Although I am at least following the lectionary. Well, you were following the lectionary too.
These
were
Old Testament.
I'm sorry.
It's the lectionary's fault. Yeah. So we're doing the Summer of Mark on Wrestling with the Basics, and then the lectionary is talking about John.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, we went over this last week, John. But yes, I was preaching on the Old Testament. You are focusing us on the Gospel, Mark.
No.
Gospel, the gospel job.
Because like you said, that's what the lecturer did. All of a sudden, for some reason, they jumped into the gospel of John. Although we will come back. We'll come back to Mark. Will we do a few more Mark before the year is over?
You bet. Well, okay. We love Mark at KFUO and Rest of the Basics. So yes, we'll be back in Mark.
And the reason, you know, and I can see why you would have jumped out to the Old Testament lessons, because these three lessons we had from John chapter 6. Well, here's the problem. You know why I like preaching in Mark, Matt? Because the people in Mark are just like you and me. They are. They're just like you and me, right? What was the line that they're like? He looked at them and they were like sheep
Stooges?
Without a shepherd.
Oh, sheep. No, sorry. I was still in the Stooges. Sorry. It's not in the Greek, original Greek language, I don't think.
Stooges, it's someone that doesn't know where he's going, right? He's a sheep without a shepherd.
Without a shepherd, a stooge.
That's a stooge. All right. But the people here that we're going to hear about today, and Mark, I just have trouble identifying with them because they seem so different than you and me and the people who are listening. Well, let's read the story, and I'll show you how they're different than the people that are even listening to us right now. And I know we have a big following amongst the Stooges. there's a lot of Stooges who listen to us. Trust me. You almost have to be a Stooge.
Takes one to know one, I guess.
Yes,
yeah,
it does. It does. So if you wouldn't mind reading verses 22 through 25. Yeah.
All right. So we're in John 6. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here?
All right, thank you. And I love the way you phrased that last question. When did you come here? So John gives us this rather lengthy introduction. So let's set the scene. Jesus has fed the 5,000. He sent his own disciples on a boat away. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. He went up to pray. And now, of course, he walks on the water. And together with the disciples, they're back on shore. In fact, John tells us that as soon as Jesus got on the boat, they were immediately at their destination. So why? What's the question here? Why do you think they're asking, Rabbi, when did you come here? What's their problem? What are they confused about, Matt?
Well, yeah. So they've been trying to track down Jesus. I think they're just confused about how he got there, right? You know, they're kind of trying to put this together in their minds, adding things up. There was a boat. They'd gone away alone, and then. Wait a second, but somehow Jesus ended up there too, and the disciples as well. But they saw that Jesus didn't enter the boat, so you know how in the world did he get to the other side?
Yeah. So you see, he had no boat. How did he get there? We took a boat. You know, it's quicker to go by boat than to walk around.
Yep.
But see, here's the problem. They don't see that's not a problem for you and me. How did he get there, Matt?
So he walks on water. We know. Yeah, we know that. Yeah.
He just walks on there.
He's God. In fact, he can do what he wants.
In fact, John says, finally, he just, boom, they're there. And we're thinking, well, of course, he's God. He can do it. He can walk on water. He can be one place and then another place a moment later. That's what God does. But see, they don't understand he's the Almighty Son of God. You and I and our listeners do understand that, but they don't understand that. Okay. Well, here's another problem that I have with them. You want to go on and read verses 26. Verse 29.
Okay. Got it. Now, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. But do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.
Now, of course, there's all kinds of things there. I mean, we could talk about the fact that they're working for the food that perishes. But, you know, I kind of do that too. You know, I kind of get involved in worldly blessings and the things I need here. In fact, I would guess probably 70% of my prayers are about things I need right here. Well, maybe 90, 95% of my prayers are about the food that perishes. But what really strikes me, and especially as a Lutheran, you talked about this last week, what really bothers me is the question, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Now, as a Lutheran, how would we answer that?
Well, probably like Jesus did.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Answer Jesus, yeah. Which is, go ahead.
So Jesus says, I like this because I think you can take it a couple ways. They ask, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answers, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. You know,
but and now you can take it a couple ways. What do you mean by that? Go ahead, Brad.
Well, you know, what must we do? Well, this is godly work. One way to take it is, this is godly work. If you want to do something godly, right, the work of God, well, then believe in him who he sent. He's talking about himself, of course.
Yeah.
But I think another way to take it is, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. That this is God's work in you, right? And to believe in the one that he sent. Yeah, so, you know, you're asking about what you must do, the works you must do. Well, first importance is first the work that God's doing. And God's work in you is to believe in the one who he sent.
And see, if the people of Israel had only known that, right? If they'd only known that Joshua isn't asking them to do something, he was trying to point out to them what God needed to do in them, you know, then maybe things would have been different. But again, see, we understand that, right? We're Lutherans. We understand that faith is the thing that needs to be done and that God is the one that works faith in us. See, we don't have any problem with that. And then here's one final issue I have with them that makes, they're just so different than us. Read verse 30 through 34, I think. Yeah, 30 through 34.
So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always.
So again, they want some kind of sign. In fact, they explicitly say, give us some sign so that we may believe in you. And again, particularly, I think all Christians, but particularly as Lutherans, what do we know about that? What's wrong with that?
Well, signs can, they can be tricky things, John. You know, it's not that God can't give us a sign, right? He's God. He can do what he wants. But boy. How do you interpret those signs? You know, like, Lord, just give me some kind of sign, right? How do we interpret those things? Because they can be unclear. For us, we would always go back to the word, right? Always go back to the word and Jesus' words in particular. And that's our source of truth. That's our source of direction in our lives, right? Not some sign.
So the problem is right there. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you, right? And right away, no. So faith is hope in the things that aren't seen. Jesus said, right, to Thomas, blessed are those that haven't seen and believed. So they're just way off the base. This is not going to help you no matter what signs are done. That's not how, as you said, it's the word. If you want faith, that's where you got to go. You got to go to the word, not to the things you hear, not the things you see, which, by the way, brings us back to Joshua again, because he kept telling them, right? None of these things they had seen, but that's okay because the word spoke and the word assured them of these things. But maybe they were thinking too, well, yeah, that was great that our fathers saw those things, but we maybe need to see some things. Well, whatever, I'm getting off track with that. I was preaching this, obviously. We've revealed ourselves. They were actually redoing stuff. Right, we're just recycling stuff.
We're just sharing the best of the best, John. That's all I like to think of.
Well, you know, if you got to have the best to start that way. But
yeah, no, our listeners are thinking, this is the best, and you're the worst. Sorry, folks.
Well, with me, it's all I got. I'm sorry. So the thing is, at this point, I'm preaching this and I'm thinking, yeah, well, maybe I'm not so different than this crowd then.
Yeah.
Because, well, like I said, yeah, I do get really concerned a lot about the things that perish. And the truth of the matter is, I know I don't need to do any work, but boy, it sure ends up feeling like work. Even going to church, I don't know how it is for you as a pastor. I don't know if people understand that. Sometimes we don't, and when I was actually getting paid regularly for this, I had a service at 9 o'clock, but that was no sweat because it was like 10 minutes away from where I live. Now I'm doing these 9 o'clock services and I've got like an hour and an hour and a half drive to get there. And it really does seem like a lot of work. In fact, I've been encouraging the people up here, 11 o'clock services. I think a lot of people would like 11 o'clock services. So far, no one's listening to me because I'm just the guest pastor anyway. And the thing about signs, again, I know that signs don't help me because God has done, I don't know, thousands of signs in my life. I've had so many crises and trials, and he just takes care of them just like he did for those people in Israel that we talked about last week. And yet as soon as the new problem comes up, then it's like the same old doubts. So all of that comes back. I know he's the Son of God, right? And yet when I have problems, it's like, well, I don't know if he's going to be God enough to help me. In just about a month, I'm going to have a hilatal hernia surgery, Matt. You think having a laparoscopic gallbladder removed, you don't know anything about laparoscopic surgery until you have a hilatal hernia.
You're showing me a punch out of what?
Well, seriously, how long before you could start eating normal food after you had your gallbladder removed?
Oh, well, pretty much immediately. Stay away from the high fat food, but
yeah,
pretty much anything else.
1 month, Matt. I'm not whining, but 1 month of a week of liquids, only liquids, and then 3 more weeks of just highly processed soft food.
Oh,
baby
boy.
Food is what we're talking about. Oh, yeah,
sorry to hear that, yeah. John.
Mm. And it's, I know it'll be all right. I know it. God heals blind people. And yet, in my circumstance, I'm wondering, well, but will he be God enough for me in that surgery? So, all right, admittedly, I am no different than the crowd that we have in John chapter 6. But I do think, and I hope and pray for our listeners, I do think there is a big difference, and that is it bothers the hell out of me. It really does. I hate my doubts. I hate that I worry. I hate that I fear. Because I know there's no reason to. See, but I do. That's how my flesh is, okay? And I would say that is the difference for us and our listeners, is we know this is not a good thing, and we confess it, and we ask God's help in it, which brings me what I really wanted to talk about.
This is all just introduction.
It's just introduction. I like the introduction, no doubt. Read the next verse. Read the next verse.
Okay,
and that's what I really want to talk about.
There we go. Digging in now. Verse 35. Yeah. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst.
So I did a little word study on those two twin terms and how the Bible uses them when they are combined. The terms about hunger and the terms about thirst. And it's really interesting how the Bible uses those two terms, okay? First of all, they are often terms used in judgment. For example, in Luke, this is what Jesus says, woe to you who are full now, for you shall be what? Hungry.
Hungry.
Yeah, that's God's judgment upon you. If you're full now, you're going to be hungry. And you probably know the story about the rich man and Lazarus.
Sure, you bet.
Yeah. So how does that story end, Matt?
Yeah, so it ends with the rich man thirsty in hell.
Yeah.
Longing just for a drop of water.
Yep. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, it says. So there you go. So it is that image. Hunger and thirst is the image of what happens in God's final judgment. And yet at the same time, what's crazy is this powerful image of what it'll be like in hell. We'll be hungry, we'll be thirsty. That's what judgment is like. And yet to know that turns out to be a good thing. Because you what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? I think we did that. Didn't we do the Beatitudes a few months ago? Maybe a year ago or so. Do you remember what Jesus says about the hungry and thirsty in the Beatitudes?
Yeah. Those are hunger and thirst for righteousness, so be satisfied.
Yeah. So apparently if you know your hunger and thirst, especially not a literal physical hunger and thirst, but the thirst like that I have, that I just wish I could trust and hope and believe, that's going to be okay, because we will be satisfied. In fact, here, let me read you some passage from Isaiah 49. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them, for he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And again, the same thing is picked up in Revelation 7. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor the scorching heat. So you see, that's the great thing. If you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness spiritually, well, what did Jesus just say? What was the passage you read just a moment ago? What does Jesus say?
Yeah, he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst.
And so again, it goes on to say, the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father has set his seal. And again, in the verses we read, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then, of course, you know, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So if we've got Jesus, okay, if you've got Jesus and his suffering and his death and his resurrection, then okay, I have my doubts and have my fears. And the people of Israel will, and they'll struggle and they'll fail in many ways. But as long as you've got the bread of life, you're okay. It'll be all right. Jesus Christ will forgive us and deliver us and bring us to where we need to be brought. In fact, as I was thinking about the response of those people when they were saying, you know, well, you know, Moses, those people were in the wilderness for 40 years. And I think they were dissing Jesus, really. They were saying, well, you know, Jesus, you did this one big deal, but really, if you think about it, it's nothing compared to what we had in the Old Testament, where we were fed for 40 years, you know. And what struck me is they had no concept of what was going on. That wasn't a blessing from God that they were fed with manna for 40 years. That was a discipline from God. In fact, that's what it says in Deuteronomy. It says, he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna. That the only reason those people were being fed with manna for 40 years is because they had the same problem the crowd has here in the Gospel of John. They didn't believe that God could do what God said he could do. Otherwise, they would have been in the land of milk and honey for those 40 years. So anyway, I'm just really, really glad that even though I'm hungry and thirsty, that you and I and everyone who's listening to us right now, you need to know you've got the bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you got that, people, spiritually speaking at least, I'm still going to have lunch today, by the way. Okay, I'm not skipping lunch. I might even have a snack in the afternoon, but spiritually, I'm taken care of because I have Jesus, the bread of life. Have any other comments? Because then I have two other things about hunger.
I just would say, you know, as Lutherans, we would say, you know, that we receive that bread of life in such a tangible way.
We
receive it in faith, right? But we think of the Lord's Supper. I think what's kind of interesting is John's gospel is the only gospel that doesn't record the Lord's Supper, right? So we've got like the words of institution, you know, take ye, this is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you. We have those words, the account of the Last Supper, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but not John. But yet I think it's these chapters of John, what we just read and even what follows, that it's kind of sort of John's version of the Lord's Supper. Okay, not that Jesus is celebrating the Lord's Supper in these verses, but he's certainly talking that kind of talk, right?
Yeah.
And later he's going to talk about not only his flesh, but also his blood. And those who eat and drink of his flesh and blood have eternal lives. So I think, you know, for us, we'd say, The bread of life isn't just, this metaphorical thing, but it's we receive it in the Lord's Supper, that he is the bread of life, that his flesh is given for the life of the world on the cross. And we, 2,000 years later, receive the benefits of that here and now. Jesus present, forgiving, strengthening faith through the bread of life. So I think that's what that really just, and you know, people like you, John, and me, who have doubts, that's who should come to the Lord's Supper, right? Because we come, it's not for perfect people, it's for sinners like us, we with our doubts even, but we come receiving faith that Christ is there, and are strengthened by the bread of life.
So, man, thank you so much for making that point, Matt, because I was thinking, well, how do I know that I have the bread of life? Okay, no doubt the bread of life will answer all hunger and thirst, but how do I know that I have it? And so, ironically, one way is by listening to Wrestling with the Basics. may we be cursed if we do not bring to people the forgiveness and love and the word of Jesus Christ every time you and I get together. But even better, because that is an iffy thing. Who knows? Okay. You got a couple of stooges. Who knows? But you're right. Man, if you go to the Lord's Supper, then there is no doubt, is there? Because he himself says, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Yeah, thank you for reminding us. There's a very concrete way we can know for sure that you and I and all our listeners have the bread of life. The two other things that I did want to point out about this combination of hunger and thirst is that sometimes in the Bible, it is just hunger and thirst. Paul says, to the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. So the thing is, Christians sometimes hunger and thirst literally. They're physically hungry and thirsty. Don't be surprised. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody listening to us right now that's having some struggles or trials, maybe you're having a worse surgery than a hiatal hernia surgery, because that really isn't that big a deal. So whatever you're struggling with, don't think, oh, I guess I don't have the bread of life. No. No, we can still have physical problems and troubles, but we still have Jesus Christ. In fact, that's the great thing. He's with us in those times too. And then as long as we're talking about hunger and thirst, I guess we should also never forget Matthew 25, where Jesus says, I was hungry and you did what? I was hungry and you
fed me. Thirsty, you gave me drink.
And I went, yeah. So please understand, as Christians then, we're always wanting to feed and give drink, and both spiritually and physically. And we've run out of time. This has been Wrestling with the Basics. Bye-bye.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.